Blog Talk Radio.
Experience California and some other states in this country,
offer them some prayers, and for their safety, and the Most High will be done. That's not too bad, looking out for one another. It's quite simple. Unfortunately, some of us don't get it. But if you will continue your studies with us, you'll sooner or later get it. You know, a lady, a woman, in Salt Lake City, called help for her 13-year-old son. He was having a bad separation anxiety episode. He has Asperger's syndrome. You see, his mother had been off for a year. And he was 13 years old. He was, you know, he's got mental issues. And, you know, he was having a nervous breakdown, I guess. Bad separation. And the mother called the police to try to help remedy the situation. And the child ended up receiving their solution, which was injuries to his shoulder, shots, both ankles, his intestines, and his bladder. Mm-hmm. You know what? I could understand they do what they do for us police officers, some of them. So, well, they really couldn't be police officers, because if they were, they wouldn't be doing the things they do. They're simply, I like to call them undercover in uniform, pretending to be police officers, perpetrating, as we call them. I can understand why some of the perpetrators do what they do. But I can't understand why some of us keep calling these people. Call anyone else except them. Because you don't know a police officer for a perpetrator in uniform pretending to be one. So why throw the dice and pray for the young brother? I think his name is Lyndon Cameron. I mean, as soon as they got there, go in the house. Little boy screaming a can on. He just wanted attention. They gave him the attention. Not the kind he wanted, though. Kind of shoot down. At less than 5 minutes. And they tell him, get on the ground before firing several shots. A 13-year-old. Nothing but a baby with mental issues. I'm not laughing at young Cameron. You know, it's just sad. We see the evidence, and Cartrell has alluded to the fact it's going to get worse. And some of us, because I guess they don't tune in to the Real Talk for Real People study show, they don't seem to see that it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. Much as they're protesting and marching and harming one another, don't seem to be getting any better for us. Yet we continue to call them to remedy and seek solutions. Do anything you possibly can to save your loved ones, if you possibly can. And calling so-called police officers, and some which hides perpetrators in uniform, might end up with dire consequences, as it did for young Cameron. This is Real Talk for Real People show. Let's get started, shall we? And let us not forget those in wake of the fire in California, and young Cameron, and all the young Camerons all over these United States of America. Okay? So let us begin in chapter 12 of the first book have you got chapter 12. We'll give you a few seconds. You know, we read that Abram at the time was not fully Abraham yet, but his father stopped in Haran, which is modern day Turkey. That's what he stopped at. You know, his dad passed away there. But nevertheless, the search continued on. You know, he didn't just stop because his papa died. He kept going. So are you ready? May the Most High bless you by the reading, study, and investigation and application of his word in your lives. The Elohim said to Abram, go forth from your native land and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Leave everybody else. Go on, keep on moving. Don't stop in Haran, modern-day Turkey. You keep going away from your father's house. I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great, and certainly his name is great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse them, him that curse you. Not only singular in the term of you, but and much more as a nation. Not only a singular concept in terms of Abram, but a residual domino effect in our regard to the nation that was to come. And all the families of the earth, by virtue of them, if they did what they should have did, but which we didn't, that's why we're in the boat we're in today, shall be blessed themselves by you, not only in a singular term, not talking simply about Abram, but the nation to come from him. Abram went forth as Yah had commanded him, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abram, at that time, now, ain't nobody going to holler at 75 years old, go nowhere. But Abram, unlike some of us, trusting Yah, he said, get up and get to getting. 75 years old, folks that want to sit on their bed in their rocket chair on their front porch and just look at everything. But not Abram. He did whatever Yah told him to do, when he told him that, no matter how old he was. When he left Haran, modern-day Turkey, Abram took his wife, Sarai, and his brother's son, Lot, and all the wealth that they had amassed and the persons that they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem at the Terebinth mark. The Canaanites were still in the land, They were still in charge. Yah appeared to Abram and said, I will assign this land one day to you. He didn't say, this is not what it's saying, but I'm telling you that's what he's saying. I will assign this land to your offspring one day. But it's not reading like that, but that's what it means. And he built an altar there to Yah, who had appeared to him. And from there he moved on to the hill country east on Bethel, unlike some of us. Some of us wanted, when do you want it? I want it now. Abram wasn't like that. He was humble. Yah said, I'm going to appoint this land, assign this land to your offspring, and when I get ready, so to speak. He didn't question that. He just got to keep on doing what he's doing, unlike some of us. And he built an altar there in the to Yah, who had appeared to him. And from there, he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. He built an altar to Yah and invoked the Elohim by name, Yah. Then Abram journeyed by stages, one point at a time, taking one day at a time, to Negev. Now, what happened was, there was a famine in the land. So Abram went to Egypt. We used to do that. When famine was in the land, we go to other spots to sojourn there. For the famine was severe in the land. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his beautiful wife, Sarah, now, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Baby, you know you something special. And I know that. So here's what I want you to do for me. If the Egyptians see you and think she is his wife, they will kill me and let you live because they want you. They don't want me. They will give you to the Pharaoh because you're something special, gorgeous. How many men said that to their wives? 75 years old? Most often the woman don't even get a grunt. Please say that you are my sister, and certainly she was his sister in some sense of the word, that it may go well with me because of you, and you know, and I will remain alive thanks to you. Thanks to you, you're going to help me out. And she was a team player. She went along with it because she loved her husband, and now, unlike some of our sisters. Now, I got to be telling folks I ain't married to you, sir. You know, you get some of my nerves. I'm going to tell everybody I'm married to you, shaking her head and whatnot. She didn't do all that because she was a team player. She humbled herself and she did exactly what her husband requested of her. And he asked her. He didn't demand her. He said, you need to do this. He didn't do it. See, some folks don't even know how to talk to their wives. This man set a fine example how you talk to your wife. He asked her. She didn't have to do it. But she was a team player. She loved him. She didn't want her husband hurt. And she didn't have no snazzy, sassy old rotten attitude neither that leads a man to go up to the rooftop, as we read in the book of Proverbs. She wasn't them rooftop, senior to the rooftop women. She was a team player. I wish a whole lot more sisters like her. And she said, let me see, and remained, go with me because of you, and I shall remain alive thanks to you. You will help me out. We are a team. Then Abraham entered Egypt, and the Egyptians saw how very gorgeous, beautiful the woman was. Pharaoh's scourge, the people that scattered around looking out for good-looking women, saw her and praised her to be, amen. Your Highness, there's a guy just came into the country with a whole pass of folk. He got a fine sister with him. I think you may want to get up with that. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's palace. And because of her, it went well with Abram. So because of her, he got a whole lot of goods. But he didn't want them kind of goods, but he got it because of her. As a result, a domino effect. He acquired sheep, oxen, but that was a good thing. He acquired sheep, oxen, asses, male and female, slaves, she-asses, and camels. But see, that's a mad woman. You can't get up with a mad woman. But see, the Pharaoh didn't know. You got to give him that. He just looked for good-looking women to weigh it. He had a whole lot of good. He was looking for all kind of good-looking women. Now, Yah afflicted Pharaoh and his household with mighty plagues on account of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Pharaoh went to Abraham because the beans were spilt and said, what is this that you have done to me? Man, what's wrong with you? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife, bro? Come on now. Why did you say she is my sister? But seriously, she wasn't. So all our women are our sisters. So that I took her as my wife. Come on, man. What kind of trick bag you put me in? Now, here your wife. Take her and get on. Get it getting. Be gone. And Pharaoh put men in charge of him, and they sent him with a military escort with his wife. Pharaoh got in so much trouble with Yah. They sent Abram with a military escort to get on out of here. Get on out, man. Get your wife and get on out of here. Man, I don't need this kind of trouble. Well, man, wasn't that good? Wasn't that a good study session? But we got something better for you. Yeah, a man know how to talk to his wife. Don't be demanding nothing, ask her something. She a team player. She not a head shaker or a rooftop make you get to kind of woman. She played with the team. He got some things because they worked together as a team. But he really didn't want that, but he got it as the end result of her working together with her husband, because she didn't want nobody to kill her husband. She wasn't sassy, snapping at the mouth and running off at the mouth talking about who she is, what she going to be do, and I don't need you to be telling me all this, Abram. I don't need you to be telling me that I ain't married to you. I'm going to tell everybody. No, she didn't do that, because she looked out for her husband, unlike some of our sisters today. And unlike some of our brothers today who wants to boss their women around, Abram set a fine example. Ask and you shall receive. And certainly he did in that regard. Let me bring my brother and friend on, Cartrell from New York City. May the Most High bless you, Cartrell. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you and the family that's out there.
You know, I tried to call you last night, bro. You know, I was asking that. You know, one thing I was trying to ask you, when Pharaoh took her, did he get with her? Did he know her like Abel know her? Did he know Sarah like Abraham knew Sarah?
No, because the Most High plagued him.
Mm-hmm. He didn't get a chance to know her.
Huh?
He didn't get a chance to know Sarah.
No, he knew something was wrong. You're telling me this is your sister, but we all know she's your wife.
Right.
And guess what? The laws of Moses wasn't written back then because Moses wasn't even born. But they knew about adultery, didn't they?
Right, right. He said, man, come on, man. Why you put me in a trick bag?
You're about to bring down on my kingdom.
Yeah, man. Come on, man. Don't do me like that, player. Why you telling me that was your sister? Abram said, that is my sister. You know, we like sister and brother. I love like a sister and brother, and that's my woman, too, you know. I didn't tell no lie. We
do
ain't
you
lying.
Know why he did that?
Yeah, because they were going to cut the top out of his head, he thought.
Yeah. It wasn't that he thought that. That's what kings did. They would kill a husband, and they would take the wife.
But look at his deal.
They would consider you a spy or an enemy, and Sarah would be the trophy for killing his enemy.
But here's the deal. Those other men didn't have Yah. So if it wasn't for Yah, they'd cut the top out of Abram's head. Okay?
Who you talking about?
I said if Abram didn't have Yah, the Pharaoh would have cut the top out of his head.
Yes. Because his wife at 75 years old, like Tina Turner, like Diana Ross, they still look like they're in their 30s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He knew it. He told his wife, he said, baby, now you know you fine. They don't sense me lying. You know them folk going to bring some trouble in my dope culture you before we go into Egypt. So I need you to do me a favor, baby. She said, what, honey? I want you to know when they come at you, because you know they're going to come at you. I already know this. Just tell them you my sister, okay? Because if you don't tell them, you know, they're going to cut the top out of my head. And I want to thank you for stretching out and going along with what I'm doing. So, okay, babe, I got you. I'm a team player.
It's a strategy. Mm-hmm. That was their strategy. But there's something that you missed and what you read.
Okay.
There's something that you missed and what you read.
Okay. Clarify.
All right, so Abraham left Haran, right?
Exactly.
And where did he go?
He went through the land of Canaan.
Excuse me?
He went to Canaan.
When Moses brought the children of Israel to the borders of the land of Canaan, what were they saying?
They said they couldn't enter. It was giants in there.
Right. The 10 spies said what?
It's giants. We can't whoop them.
And who said we could take it?
Caleb and Joshua. All
right. I just wanted to refresh your memory because we talked about the same land.
Right.
And when Moses and Joshua and Caleb came out of Egypt, they had 600,000 warriors plus Yah. Egypt.
But one man just went in there by himself with his family.
Come on, man. We see Abraham. He wasn't worried about the Canaanites. He didn't tell Sarah, tell these Canaanites, you my sister. He didn't tell the Canaanites, tell these people, you my sister. No.
Right.
He like looked around. We got to go to Egypt, baby, because ain't no water here. Ain't no food here.
Right. Right.
But when we go to Egypt, you got to tell these people here, you my sister, because they will kill me and they will take you. What's up with the Canaanites? They probably was looking at Abraham. He wasn't worried about them looking at him.
No. I guess they were scared of him. The Canaanites were scared of him. This fool that coming here, man, all of us, he'll walk around like he ain't scared. Man, let that fool go, man. Don't even send on him. Go on back in the tent, baby. Go on back in the town. Man, something wrong with that fool. His thinker broke.
And we're going to find out how much fear the Canaanites had of Abraham. We're going to see. Because the story gets juicy. We think Abraham is this old man with his wife. No, his wife was banging. So that means Abraham must have been real strong because he had children after Sarah. So if Sarah was banging, you know her big brother Abraham, he was the man. Our father Abraham was a mighty man.
Right.
But they depict him as an old, feeble guy who was just connected with Yah. No, Abraham walked in the land of Canaan where 600,000 Israelite warriors were afraid to go. Think about that.
He had a lot of confidence in the Most High and himself.
Oh, yeah. No question.
But he knew them Egyptians were nothing like it, though.
No, the Egyptians were nothing to play with. The Egyptians were nothing to play with. They didn't have that curse that Canaan had, though. See, Canaan, he got smashed.
Right.
People got smashed because of what they did.
Right.
But the fact that as the story goes on, we have to see our father Abraham in a different light because we get our strength, we get our might, we get our connection with the Most High through him. And we play him off lightly, but we cannot play our father Abraham. He's like George Washington to our nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the founding father. He is the only founding father. You don't have many.
And he wasn't no chump. He's walking through the land of Canaan with no fear. You didn't hear any type of fear about these people in the land of Canaan. But the Egyptians, they're another story.
Yeah, he's a whole different story. Say, hey, baby. These cats here, baby, they ain't like the Canaanites. I need you to do me a favor, love. And he ain't coming putting his finger in her face. So I hit you in the eye. You don't care. You don't do what I tell you. I smack in the mouth. He went to ask his sister. Say, hey, baby, I want you to do me a favor. And these Egyptians, they're a whole different story, boo. You know, we Canaan, I ain't worried about that. I put a can of whoop behind on them. But these fellas right here, We need to use some strategy on this. And he came out of it, look, hey, he got a beautiful white back. He got cattle, sheep, asses, slaves, and whatnot. He come out ahead of the deal, if you ask me.
And even Egyptian, they showed they had class, right? Because what did they do when they saw Abraham and Sarah? They gave him all kind of stuff. You would call that a dowry, right?
Right.
Sheep and goats and what else? Yeah. Donkeys and male servants and female servants. Sarah must have been banging. Wait a minute. She gave up sheep, ox, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a fat. She was fat. Sarah was fat, man.
Oh my goodness.
Well, just smile for me, Sarah.
Sarah.
Don't
she was
smile
a princess,
for me, Sarah. I know you can go. Why don't you go to tomorrow?
You got me trying to sing on this show, man. But
at least we try. Hey, we like our founding father. We ain't scared, bro. Come on, man.
No.
And
really, like you said, the relationship that our father Abraham had with his wife Sarah, that's a model.
Mutual respect.
Barking at her and commanding her, telling her what to
do.
No. He's like, Mama. We got to use some strategy. We got to work together here because I know you don't want to lose me and I don't want to lose you.
Right.
We in a situation right now. This is the strategy. Tell these people you're my sister. And we ain't lying because you're my sister.
Right.
You got to tell them that because if we say we husband and wife, you know what they're going to do?
They're going to cut the top out of my head, baby.
That's right. Because I'm considered an enemy. I'm not Egyptian. I'm Asiatic. I'm Shemitic.
Right.
And they have every right to be at war with us. So that's what they do in these ancient kingdoms. That's why King David did what he did to Uriah the Hittite. But he wasn't supposed to do that.
Right. No, he wasn't supposed to do that.
Kill this man. I'm going to take his wife. He's a Hittite. His wife is an Israelite. I have every right to kill this man. God told me to wipe out the Hittite.
Let's be fair to King Dawood, our king. Let's be fair to him. He tried to set it up where the man can keep his wife and they keep their baby and he won't even know that's my baby. So he's going to send for Zariah. I need a report. So Zariah comes into town. Then he talks to him, what's going on in the forefront? So-and-so, this and that, the other king. That's okay, all right. Look here, go home, hang out with your wife, get back with me tomorrow and everything, and I'm rap to you. So they said, hey, Uriah didn't go home. He slept in the seat, in the street. And he slept
outside the gates of the palace, yo.
Right, he slept outside the gate of your palace.
Yeah.
He said, call him, man. Call him. I need to man, why? I told you to go on and hang out with your wife. No, King, we don't get down like that. When we're in battle, we don't get down like that, you know. I came here to deliver a report like you asked me. I didn't come here to lay off my woman. And so I'm going back. If it's okay with you, he said, man.
And you know, Warrior can't do that. You can't be like having a relationship with your wife and fighting a war because your mind is going to be off while you fighting warriors that's trying to kill you.
Exactly.
Think about her. And you got dudes out here trying to take your head off.
Right. So he said, I don't, just like a boxer, you don't want to be having sex with your woman when you're training for boxing. Because The same philosophy applies there, just like a fighter in ancient times. Not these modern day fighters, they'll lay with anybody, they'll lay with a dog. But the old fighters, they didn't put their mind on their women. I mean, and not unless they were newly wedded to them, then they wouldn't even go to battle. And
when you come back from the war front,
right,
you have to decompress. Right. You can't just go right back into the community. You just came off the war front.
They didn't know that. They didn't understand post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Right.
They knew it. Our ancient fathers knew it, what post-traumatic stress syndrome was. But these young folks, these modern-day countries, they forgot you have post-traumatic stress syndrome. You got to defuse. You know, you got to clean yourself before you hang out with your wife and whatnot. And so, but he said, man, I can't do that. I got folks in the battlefront. So he said, I got to do something ugly. I really didn't want to do this, but I got to do it. Take this note back, which you give to your commander. And the note said, look here, the fiercest battle, y'all attack and y'all withdraw, leaving Uriah in the thick of it. That's how it went down. That's how it went down.
And Uriah was an African. So they call Hamites today African. Hamites.
Exactly.
Hittite.
But I got to give Uriah this. For what, truth be told, Uriah was a real man, though. I ain't taking nothing away from Uriah.
The most I wanted him to live. And he punished King David for what he did to Uriah the Hittite.
Exactly. Right.
He punished him. You got to pay for this, bro.
Yeah. I mean, he fighting as an ally of ours. And he's
the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this Hamite.
Yeah.
And he has every right to do that. We ain't got no exclusive right, no monopoly on a Most High Creator who created every nation.
Right.
We don't have no monopoly on Yah. We just got the servant role. That's all we got. We are servants.
Exactly.
We're the closest ones to him, but that don't give us exclusive monopoly on the Most High God.
To mistreat, abuse, and dominate an ally of ours. It don't give you that right then. And King Dawood, our king, found that just because he's a Hamite, he's an ally. And in being an ally, he has certain rights. An alien has certain rights.
Nation. I'm going to tell you this,
Yo.
We come from three sons of Noah. We all cousins. Everybody on earth, cousins too.
He's not our brother. Right.
You're our cousin. You're a Hamite, you're our cousin.
Yeah, the Jephites, they're our cousins. So the Most High was teaching him a valuable lesson. You don't have a right and authority to mistreat, abuse, and dominate anyone. Okay? You should
deal with
your
family too.
Yeah.
They family too.
Yeah, they family. And so, you know, when and then, you know, the thing I love about King Dawood was this. When the prophet came to him, he didn't tell him the direct story. You know, y'all don't know the story. Let me tell you the story. So the prophet comes to, Your Highness, we have a problem. Could you settle the matter for us? He said, there was this rich man that had all these sheep and whatnot. And this one man had this one sheep. But this rich man set it up that he destroyed the one man that took his one sheep. So King, the innate nature of your king, don't knock King David because his innate nature was righteousness. He couldn't stand unrighteousness. Even though he did some dirt, and he answered for it, but his innate nature, he hated unrighteousness. So when he brought the story to him, he said, "Who has that man? You make sure the person that had the one sheep, they get everything back and then some." And the prophet said, "Your Highness, that man is you." And went on to tell him that everybody knew about it. He thought he'd keep a secret, but yeah, you know what she did with Bathsheba. And you know what you did with Uriah. And see, that's where you can see some of these songs from, too. You didn't know that, did you? Now you know. All right, Cartrell.
And that's the point. Because King David studied human nature. And there was a point in time he couldn't control himself. But
right.
He realized he had to get a grip. He's like, yo, I can't keep doing this. Taking people wives, sending them to the front line. That's not what Yah put me in his position to do.
And that's why he asked for a step. You can ask for a new thinker, brothers and sisters. Like we always encourage you to get you a new thinker. But David
control
finally
your impulses.
Realized, right? He needed a steadfast thinker. See, just getting a new thinker is not as sufficient. You need a steadfast thinker, okay? That don't respond to impulses, but righteousness. All right, Contrary.
That's why we read the Psalms, Doc, because it's like acupuncture. We know
exactly.
Something's wrong with us spiritually, but these words from on high, how our ancient fathers studied human characteristics, human nature, conquering yourself. Our ancient fathers went in deep. That's why we love and appreciate our kings, King David, King Solomon,
right.
Sons of Korah, Asaph,
right.
Because they teach us how to control ourselves. Because sometimes you can get out of control.
Well, that's the greatest thing one can do in this universe is control oneself, control one's anger, control one's impulses. Learn to be a king over your anger and impulses. That's the best thing one can do for oneself.
They teach us about strength and not following, you know, the multitudes, the crowds, because you're just a sheep when you follow the crowds. It takes a strong individual to step away from what everybody else is doing and hear the voice of Yah and walk
exactly.
the path that He's put us on. But one more thing before we leave this chapter is that Abraham set the pattern, our father. When there was a problem in the land of Canaan, we ran into Africa because Egypt is in Africa. I don't know where they came up with this terminology, the Middle East. But there's no Middle West, there's no Middle North, there's no Middle South. But they coined this phrase, the Middle East, and they put Egypt in that category to try to take it out of Africa. And it's in Africa.
Well, you know why they coined it. So they could carve up some sense of semblance to their lives. You know why they coined it. Ain't no middle nothing. It is what it is. They cut it up and try to make it apply to their theme. And people... wicked people do that. They want things to apply to their theme. They got to get their theme right. So, yeah. But Cartrell, listeners, that was an interesting study session. You know what, Cartrell? You know what I like about our study session? They're so laid back, but they're deadly serious. We're so laid back in our study session, but we are deadly serious. And brothers and sisters, if you are out there and you are around a whole lot of wicked Canaanites, pray for a mind like your founding father. Pray for a mind that he could walk through the land of Canaan unafraid when our brothers and sisters came here, and when our brothers and sisters came here years, centuries later, and they were going into the land of Canaan. 10 of them were half-hour cowards.
After they saw what they saw, had 600,000 warriors over like 1.52 million people. They saw what the Most High did through Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. Yet you're still afraid? He carried you 40 years. You ate every day.
Exactly. But look here. But here's the beauty of it. Some of us still have the innate nature and the characteristic of our founding father. And it showed up in the case of Caleb and Joshua. They had the innate nature of our founding father. They weren't scared. They said, man, come on now. We can take them. What is y'all saying? Come on, why are you getting a false report like that? Man, come on now. We can do the thing. And here's the beauty of Moses, that he took the advice of the two over the ten. The two over the ten, he took their advice. Yeah, okay. Caleb,
hey,
Josh, we can do it. Okay.
Hey,
go ahead, brother. Yo.
It should have been the reverse, right? It should have been 10 versus 2.
Yeah, if your mind was just in tune to human nature like that, and if you didn't have Yah on your side to guide you, you would have went with the 10 over the 2.
And the 10 should have been right. That's what I'm saying. The 10 should have said, these two guys, they seen the wrong thing. All 10 of us seen that Yah, what Yah could do. We could conquer the Canaanites. Our ancient father Abraham been in here. We got 600,000 warriors. We can do this. The 10 should have been saying that, right?
Exactly.
But only 2 said it.
They were afraid. That's what fear will do for you, bro. But in the case of people not scared of anything, in the case of Joshua and Caleb, they were unafraid. They knew the history of our founding father walking through that land. And they say, hey, man, wait just a minute. You mean to tell the founding father walked through that and they didn't mess with him? Oh, come on now. Come on, we got this, man.
It's a vital lesson because people think the majority is always right. And America is based on the majority of people rule.
They're not.
No. The people, majority, are not always right. Sorry.
It's not. Most often, Cartrell, they're not, period. Most often, they're not, period.
And you want to be down with the in crowd.
Yeah.
You was down with the in crowd in Noah's time. You was laughing at him while he was building that ark. You was down with the in crowd. Mm-hmm. But when that rain came, I bet you wanted to separate yourself from that in crowd. I bet you did.
Yeah, if you were down with the in crowd with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, hey, man, let's go with them other gay guys and let's go get them boys. I'm going.
We the majority.
I'm certainly going. I like one of them, too. Let's go. If you down with the in crowd.
So the majority in Sodom and Gomorrah died. How many made it out?
Zero.
Three.
Zero.
Three.
Yeah,
Lot,
and his
two daughters.
Right.
That ain't the majority. That don't sound like the majority.
So, yeah, be careful to think the majority wins, brothers and sisters. It doesn't. It doesn't. Well, Cartrell, that was interesting, informative, and quite colorful. I enjoyed this study session. And I hope listeners, you enjoyed it too. Well, Cartrell, listeners, let's move right along to the book of Zechariah. We got another wonderful, powerful, packed, informative study session for you. Okay? Turn to, if you will, turn with us to chapter 7, how obedience is better than fasting. Doing what Yah says is better. It's simply superficial things. I'm going to give you a few seconds to get there. I'm going to get set up, and may the Most High bless you by the reading and studying, and most importantly, the investigation. After the investigation, the application of His word. And don't trust nobody when it comes to your soul and your security. Don't even trust us. That's why you ought to study, okay? All right. Now, in the fourth year of King Darius, giving you the time frame, King Darius of Babylon. Is King Darius? King Darius, Babylon, okay. And it came to pass that the word of Yah came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month at Shephet. When the people sent Sarai, they sent two people, they sent the king's representative and the people's representative, Sezezer and Rezimelet. One was the people's representative and one was the king's of Babylon representative, and his men to the house of Yah to pray before the Elohim and to ask the priests who were in the house of Yah, of hosts, and the prophets, they saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? They wanted answers. So here's the answer they got. And the same answer applies to today. Then the word of the Lord of hosts, the Elohim of hosts, came to me, Zechariah saying, said to the people of the land through their messengers, Rezimelech and Sarezer, their representatives, said to them, when you fast and mourn in the fifth, 7 months, okay, it said, it broke it down to them quite simply, and said to the people, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and 7 months during your 70 years incarceration, did you really fast for me? For me? For real? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Elohim proclaimed through the former prophet? Should you should have obeyed, and you wouldn't have been in the position that you were in to ask this question when Jerusalem and its cities around were inhibited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were inhibited.
We in the same situation today.
Same situation.
Because it doesn't say one prophet. The Most High said, Yah has proclaimed through former, he didn't say one prophet, he said prophets when
right.
Jerusalem and the cities were inhabited and prosperous, and the south
right.
and the lowlands were inhabited. So
exactly.
it's the same thing today. Why are we looking at only one prophet? We're just looking at Moses and the law.
So
and Yah has sent many prophets, and we've read what they have said. And they've given us the diagnosis
antidote.
And the antidote.
And you know
what?
Our
situation today.
And then, hold on. Wow. 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 Keeping and piggybacking on what Cartrell said. And these next few verses about to give you an antidote. And it says, sort of like, you put yourself in a bad position, therefore it resulted in your incarceration. But even that being said, then the word of the Elohim came to Zechariah saying, thus said the Elohim of hosts. Here's what you ought to do. Wow. Quite simple. And the same applies today. Execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion. Everyone to his brother and her sister. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien, different nations, or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in your heart against his brother. And who is your brother?
That means
brother?
You got to stop gangbanging.
Exactly.
Stop gangbanging. Stop
exactly.
glorifying gangster lifestyle.
Exactly.
Brothers,
quite that simple. But they refuse to heed, just like they do today. They shrugged their shoulders. They stopped their ears so that they could not hear. They didn't want to hear that. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, stone, refusing to hear the law.
Shootouts are going on across America, in the cities we live in, against one another.
Never. Because of disobedience.
Uh-huh.
And the words of which the Elohim of hosts had said by his spirit through the former prophets.
Not one, but many prophets.
Exactly. Does great wrath come from the Elohim of hosts? The wrath we are receiving comes from the Elohim of hosts. Therefore, it happened that just as he proclaimed, they would not hear. So they called out, and I would not listen to them, says the Elohim of hosts. I don't hear them in Chicago. I don't hear them in Baltimore. I don't hear them in LA, California. I don't hear them in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't hear them because they ain't listening to what I got to say, and I ain't hearing about nothing they got to say.
Black lives don't matter to y'all.
No, because you ain't listening to what I'm saying.
First of all, because you're calling yourself black.
Exactly.
Changing your name. Back to what it's supposed to be.
Exactly. And then you're doing everything. And it said. Let's go back and read these again. Execute true justice. Are we executing true justice in regards to one another? Do we show mercy or compassion in regards to one another? Everyone to his brother and every man and woman is our brothers and sisters, as we found out with Abram and Sarah. Do not impress the oppressed widow and the fatherless. The alien, other nations, and the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. Are we doing that? So the end result is what we see. Because this wrath is from the Elohim of hosts. Therefore, he proclaimed that they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Elohim of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations which they have not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. And it's
as it is this day.
As it is this day. Because of us. We ain't got nobody to blame what's going on but ourselves.
We're still scattered amongst the nation, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. Yah scattered us with the whirlwind among all the nations, which they had not known. What you saying, our ancient fathers didn't know these people, the Greeks, the Romans, the Americans, the Germans, the Russians, the French, the Irish, Portuguese, the Dutch. Our ancient fathers didn't know these people, yet we found ourselves in the midst of them, trying to be a part of them through their democracies and their philosophies and their ideologies. No, our land is desolate. It used to be a pleasant land. They used to call it the Fertile Crescent. Now it's war-torn and full of bloodshed. Why?
Exactly.
Because of us.
Exactly.
We don't realize the cause and effect.
The domino residual effect.
But we see it here in America, because America was built on blood, and the same thing's going to happen.
A domino residual
effect. Same thing. Happen.
Same thing. Domino residual effect. And you can see the land is bumming them out by virtue of these fires and these hurricanes, these...
Those fires are in nine states. They're not just in California. Nine states.
Yep.
And we haven't even reached the beginning of the fire season in the West.
They haven't
even started. It's just beginning. San Andreas winds that they talk about that spark big fires have just begun. And they got big fires now, even before those San Andreas winds even started.
Exactly.
So you got to look at the sign. You got to know what time it is. And you got to comply with the antidote that Yah has given us. Because he's complaining. I sent y'all prophets to give y'all an antidote, but y'all refuse to take, you know, what they brought y'all. Are we going to do the same thing? Is history going to repeat itself? Are we going to die because we didn't obey what Yah was telling us to do? True justice. What's true justice? It ain't trying to be part of America because we know these people lie. How you know they lie? You still got your slave name. Williams, Johnson, Jones, Smith. And you think you're free. So you have to know that people are still lying to you. And you're asking people that lie to you to be just. No justice, no peace. Really? Okay. They're not here to give us justice. They are here to do injustice to us.
Exactly.
They perform that role very well, don't they?
Extremely well. Extremely well. And we portray the role of a fool quite proficiently. Okay?
How long are you going to play the fool out?
The song says everybody plays the fool sometime. But in our
sometime,
case...
not all the time.
Yeah, we're playing the fool all the time.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Crazy cat.
All right. Yeah.
We're hitting upside our head with a brick. We talking about we love you. We love America, but America don't love us. You crazy cat.
Truth be told. Truth be told.
When we gonna get it?
I know you have another wonderful Psalms, because all those Psalms are wonderful. And we're all ears.
Yes, going into the soul, the heart, the mind of our ancient fathers. The Chinese go into Confucius, his writings, his mind, because he gave them wisdom on how to control their spirit and their impulses and get in tune with their spiritual side. So we live in the Western world. The Western world don't accentuate the spiritual side because they're materialistic minded. So they focus on the mental and the physical, and they are bankrupt. They are bankrupt spiritually. So we're in the 53rd Psalm, and it starts off with that power shot. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no Elohim. Who says that, Brother Yamsuf?
The fool.
And we're following fools because they believe in science, right? Big Bang, one cell, we evolved from ape. So they fools. They're saying there is no God. They're telling us we evolved from that, but at the same time, they're trying to accuse us of being Ham. And I keep saying, you can't have it both ways.
No.
The people that say there is no God,
he says, you got a dog out there barking.
Huh?
Now you got a dog out there trying to disturb the peace.
No, that's the Buzz Boys, man. That's the Buzz Boys.
Okay.
So the fool who says in his heart there is no God, the Most High says they are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is no one who does good. And that's what we're living in the midst of, because these people that we live in the midst of are believing in democracy. They don't believe in kings. They don't believe in Yah. They believe in science. Follow science. Listen to what science says. No, science is telling you that there is no God. It came from a big bang. You know what Elohim says? The Most High God who put the sun in the sky, the stars, and the earth on their course. It says Elohim looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there's any who understands who seek Elohim. How many people on earth are seeking the true living God? Or are they following science? They're trying to prove evolution. They're trying to prove Darwin's theory. They're not seeking God, are they? Or are they? Because they got that God particle.
Right.
The Hadron Collider. And I don't think you're going to find Yah in the Hadron Collider. Every one of them have turned aside, like in the time of Noah. They have together become corrupt. He's talking about all mankind. You accept the LGBTQ. You eating shrimp, pork, lobster, clam. Serving idols. Doing what you want to do. You're not listening to the law of Yah. There is none who does good. No, not one. Watching soap operas, people sleeping with other people's wives and having children and trying to hide their iniquity. It says, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. Yeah, that's our value, right? Our value in this Western captivity is that we like a loaf of bread. And we treat each other like we loaves of bread.
Exactly.
And do not call upon Elohim. How many of us are called upon Elohim? Or are people that call upon their idols and false gods and trinities and religious doctrines?
Mm-hmm.
Here they are in great fear. And that's what's prevalent today, right? Donald Trump is pumping it up. Fear, fear, fear. What did Yah tell us? Fear not, right?
Exactly.
He told us not to fear what the Gentiles fear. So, because we don't listen to Yah's instruction, we fear COVID-19, we fear Armageddon, and we fear what? We fear everything. We're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of water, we got no escape. No, Yah said don't fear. Fear is prevalent in the earth because of wickedness.
Yep.
For the wicked, they are in great fear, where no fear was. For Elohim has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. Against who? Against Israelites? Yes. Every nation that came against the children of Israel, the apple of the Most High's eye. We don't hear about them today, whether it be the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans, the Egyptians, the Ethiopians. Whoever came against our nation, the Most High has scattered their bones. You have put them to shame. Because Yah has despised them. Why he despised them? Because they were idol worshippers. They didn't acknowledge him. They had their own gods. They had their own concepts of how creation came into being. It's like the people we're dealing with now. Oh, how the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. We're looking for salvation in church. We think we're going to die and go to heaven because somebody died for our sin. That's a false narrative. Yah said, oh, how that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. Because we know Zion is where Yah is going to place his temple. And it's a physical, geographical land place. Zion and Jerusalem. When Elohim brings back the captivity of his people, like he did the first time when we came out of Egypt, Pharaoh was shocked. He's like, Moses, I don't know this God you're talking about. It's like the people today. They don't know the God we're talking about. They think we lunatics. They think we lost our mind. But Torah Yah, He has reconnected us with him so we can seek him out and reconnect with our roots. What did Yah say? Let Jacob rejoice. We should be rejoicing because we reconnected with our roots and we know truth because Yah has maintained truth even through all the deception and the lies and the brutality that we've gone through to strip us of the knowledge of God. Let Jacob rejoice and Yisrael should be glad. Are you rejoicing, Ah? Are you glad? Because I know I am.
I certainly am, brother. I certainly am. That's why I do what I do as far as the real Talk for Real People study show. It's a labor of love, brother.
Yeah, yeah. So I know people hear you laugh. They hear me laugh. But, yeah, most of us are rejoicing and be glad because we about to see the end of the wicked, just like in Noah's time.
Exactly. Well, Cartrell, well, listeners, you've heard a power-packed, informative show that we didn't design. The Most High designed the lesson plan. He just give us the lesson plan. We just come out with it. And so, therefore, do your due diligence. Do your investigation. Don't take no man's word in it. Study for yourselves. And once you've investigated, you make the right application. Cartrell, your closing remarks, my brother and friend.
You said a mouthful, man, because we didn't design it. Yah designed it. And it seems that he's blended it with history, prophecy, and wisdom. What better combination than that? We read in the history of creation. We're looking into the prophecy, Yah's plan. And we're also reading Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastics and all these things to be able to link our spirit in to what is right, what Yah requires of us as a people. And that's the only way we're going to achieve the salvation that the Most High is talking about. Because his salvation that he's talking about is different from what the church is talking about. You're not going to die and go to heaven and walk around, go through the pearly gates, and you're going to walk all over God's heaven. No, Yah is bringing heaven down to earth.
Well, okay, that was the case. Well, hypothetically speaking, theoretically speaking, I mean, he's saying to Abraham about all this heaven and stuff. And Abraham was the founding father. Don't you think he would have told the founding father about all this heaven and stuff and whatnot?
I'm glad you brought our father Abraham back up.
Yeah.
Because it's a paradigm shift, because we think how our enemies have portrayed Abraham, this old man walking around the desert with his old wife Sarah. We've seen a new paradigm. Abraham was fearless, Sarah was fine. To the degree people had to come up with strategy.
Fearless is fine. Fearless is
Sarah.
You know you can go. Why don't you stay until tomorrow?
Go ahead, bro.
If you want to be free. I love this song, bro. What's that boy's name? I used to like this song. What was it? Halls and Oates. I think the name was Halls and Oates. You sing that song. I thought it was some brothers at first. And then they said, Halls and Oates? It ain't no brother. Them some white boys. I mean, the white boy blowing. I got to get into it.
About our ancient mother.
Hey, they sing about our ancient mother. And I got to get them.
Like the Egyptians. They probably had a song, too.
Yeah, they like it, too. I mean, they sung about our mother. I mean, who would come up with Sarah? Wants a smile and wife for me. Sarah, you know you can go. But why don't you stay until tomorrow?
And Sarah is not a typical European name.
No. And they, you know, forget
Sally, Mary, Ann, Sally
Sue.
Yeah,
that's a sister name, Sarah. That's my sister. Yeah, look here. I know little Gregory over there. I know he over there by laughing, flipping over the floor and getting that soup, and Cartrell trying to sing, mama. That's all right. At least we try. You're going to try some things, too, when you get big. We hope it's the right thing. We hope
I hope
Lil
Gregory. I hope Lil Gregory looking up the songs we're trying to sing, because they sound so much better than we trying to sing it.
Yeah. Hey, Gregory, have your email to look up the song. The singer name is Hall and Oates. And let your email play that song for you. We come a little close to it now. You're going to say Super Contrast. They come a little close, mama, but they ain't come all the way. But at least they gave it a valued effort. So the name
we definitely
is Hall
are not Hall and Oates, bro. We definitely are not Hall and Oates. And they some white boys.
Yeah. I paid the difference. Hey, Leah, we two problems, brother. We got to stick together. The other 10 is against us. Come on, now. I beg the difference.
Hold on. Either we Joshua and Caleb, or we trying to be Hall and Oates.
Well,
now I don't think he's gonna be successful trying to be Hall and Oates, bro.
We tried to sing. You said he gonna sing with the brothers in the temple. I said I'm gonna make a valiant effort. It probably gonna keep me out the first hour, but at least I'm gonna make a valiant effort. Okay.
We don't take nobody out. If you can't sing, just sing soft. Just try to blend in. Don't try to sing. I'll sing the real thing. Just try to blend in, brother.
You talking about soup? You talking about soup? Trying to go incognito?
You trying to take the lead thing role, Ock? Nah.
Goddamn.
No.
I'm going to blow a note. I'm going to blow
stand
a
down,
lead role.
Stand down.
They going to say soup. That's you. Soup. Go back to raise the horses and growing grapes. You ain't going to make it. I said, okay, at least I gave a valiant effort, okay? I gave a valiant effort. Well, you know what? Since the Most High is going to be restoring us, maybe he'll restore a nice singing voice with me. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe you better pray for that. along with a new thinker. A new voice.
I thought you were free, but you was hearing me. Pray for a
hey, come on, man. Yah, he does the impossible, bro. I want to sing praise to you, Yah. Give me a voice I could sing like the birds in the sky and my brothers and my sisters, Alexander O'Neal, Smokey Robinson.
I could sing at the great
Barry White.
Singing voice. Yeah, give me a pentagram voice or something like that, Yah. So
give me a voice like Barry White.
Yeah. You're a bad wife. Practice.
Whatever.
Hey, something wrong with me.
Take a pentagram.
You need to quit, Kanye.
Al Green.
Yeah.
Your voice like that. You know what I mean?
Give me stuff. Hey, I take some Gerald LaVert. Yeah, I used to love me some Gerald LaVert. What was that song Gerald sung? Hold on. What was that? I'm trying to think. What did Gerald? I used to love that song.
Hold on.
Baby, hold on to me. Yeah.
Baby, hold on to me.
Girl, I'm that special kind. Yeah, that is hard to find. Told
y'all
you
too,
about
y'all
it.
Too, y'all too.
Baby, hold on to me. Girl, wasn't I there when he made you cry? Who was there to comfort you when he said, you a real hater, man. You won't even let me finish on. Listen, we got to go now. We got to go.
Pray for that voice, God. Pray for that voice, man, because I'll be an E for effort, man. E for effort.
Hey, look at a valiant effort. That's what the Most High does, Contrario, when you're working in his vineyard. He just makes you happy, man. And if you guys don't get it, you're missing out. We're happy to do what we do for the Most High and for you. And by virtue, we have some happiness. And
he said,
let
Israel be glad and let Jacob rejoice. If you ain't rejoicing and you ain't glad, you don't know the Most High.
Something ain't right with what you're doing. I mean, You should have a certain amount of happiness. You should be elated and whatnot, you know. And And it comes across, especially if you got the right investigative tools and you make the right application, you should have some sense. And I know you should even find this humorous. You probably find it humorous that Cottrell and Soup is trying to blow some nose, and you laugh it. So
I'm going to tell you what's up, Bob.
Okay.
We can't get justice for man. Not the United States, not the UN, not the World Court, not the World Bank. Who are we going to get justice from?
We're getting justice from Yah.
And we could depend on that, can't we?
Exactly. So there should be a certain amount of elation and happiness. You know, and so now, you can understand. Soof, Carter, where y'all live at? Folks, fires are coming. Folks are getting killed. I'm not going to stop loving Yah. I'm not going to stop having a high expectation and hope. And then the residual effect of that is a peace of mind and happiness that we are displaying with you on the show. You know, are not all that's, stuck up and not, you know.
That shows you taking the antidote, bro. That shows exactly. You taking the antidote. Because if you ain't taking the antidote, you stressed out. You're still suffering. You're suffering if you ain't taking the antidote.
Yeah, and you don't find no enjoyment. I find some enjoyment. This little stuff that we're doing here is
a little bit that we can do. Right. Share Yah's word. It's more precious than gold.
Exactly. And it affects each other. When you're down and out, you've been feeling the blues, and you come on the show, and we gave you a fantastic investigative, informative session that you can apply to your lives, and then we kid about. And it shows our camaraderie and what we do, and our camaraderie and our connection with Yah and our connection with one another. And so why should it be that way? Why we got to be all dirt and sour face and sour puss face? We can't even laugh. We can't tell nice jokes. We can't uplift even jive one another. We used to do it. And we didn't say things in laboratory or belittling or something. But just to make light jokes and love on one another and help encourage and carry each other to the next day. You know, and it says in Proverbs, laughter is good for you. It's therapeutic. It's medicinal. You know.
And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Yam Soup.
Yo.
The Democratic campaign, Joe Biden and Harris, ain't going to bring that kind of joy and happiness.
No.
Black Lives Matter ain't going to try to bring you that kind of happiness and peace of mind.
No, it ain't going to happen.
So whatever's going on right now, the only thing that's going to bring you peace of mind is what Yah is saying.
The word of Yah. And then association with your brothers and sisters.
Yep. Because that's all part and possible of what he's saying. Yah yourself. Come together.
Exactly.
Trust in me.
Right. And this is a form.
We
gathering.
Are blessing to the nations what we haven't blessed ourselves.
Exactly.
We are blessing to the nations. That's why America is a superpower and so rich. If it wasn't for us, America wouldn't be America, would it?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you like Al Green said, country. Let's stay together. I thought I'd get you with that one. Look at this. Let us all stay together. Let's gather ourselves together. Let's stay together. Let's motivate each other. Execute justice. Let's do what the Most High said in regards. Let's not devise evil toward one another. Let us even be fair toward nations, different nations other than our own. And let them know what true justice and true righteousness is. Okay? You've been given instructions. Won't you follow those instructions? We do it. Why don't you? Roger, any more closing remarks, my brother and friend?
Yes, sir. It's all about us being one as a nation. We are composed of 12 tribes who are supposed to take care of one another, not be split, not be divided, not be set against one another. When we come together as one in Yah, with Yah, and linked up with his plan, there's nothing in the universe that can stop us because we are part of Yah's plan. We're not doing our own thing. We have submitted to what Yah has designed, and we're comporting ourselves according to our part in his plan.
Exactly.
We have a very important role. It's about, you know, really focusing in and being in tune. And we've covered a lot of it in the prophets, but we're going to cover more in the history and what we're reading in the books of Moses.
And we've covered a whole lot of territory, brothers and sisters, thanks to the Most High. And if the Most High willing, we will cover a whole lot more territory. Okay? Well, Cartrell, my brother, it's been a pleasure and honor to do this investigative study session with you. And
every
we hope
day.
To listen every day. And we hope the listeners got something out of it that they can take and apply to their lives and become much better people. Because if you're following the examples of this world, this universe, I suspect you're in dire straits. You're living in fear. You're hopeless. You have nothing to laugh about. But if you're following the words of Yah, you have something. You have some hope. You have some joy. And you have some expectations. But you can expect nothing from this Western Hemisphere and from this universe to do anything or say anything in your best interest in all regard. Well, listeners, we don't know where you're going, but you're getting ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you. May you ask for a steadfast thinker, not just a thinker that is steadfast, that is not driven by your impulses and or your anger. And you learn how to control oneself. But if it's driven by the word of Yah, that you love the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as your savior. And who is your neighbor? Your brothers and sisters, and thirst after righteousness. May the Most High bless you, because we are in a war. And good night. Shalom.
Keep our freedom, but Lord knows it gotta be a better way. I said,
one.